KNX News, 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, it's election day plus three. Okay, start doing the math. Well, we'll do it for you. 73 days until Donald Trump is sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Thanks for joining us as we look ahead to the big changes in store for all of us. On today's show, what went so horribly wrong for the Democratic Party in Tuesday's election? We hear from a California congressman on everything from the candidate to the messaging. And we'll talk with California State Senate President on whether the Golden State can find a way to work with its old arch nemesis, President Trump. But now this.
Citing unprecedented circumstances, special counsel Jack Smith took the first formal legal steps to dismissing the election subversion case against President-elect Donald Trump. In his court filings, Smith acknowledged that Trump's election win has all but ended the prosecutions against him, and the Justice Department has a longstanding policy against criminally prosecuting a sitting president. The federal judge in the case granted Smith's motions, and the case should be dissolved within weeks.
Billionaire Elon Musk was reportedly sitting in on a call between Trump and the president of Ukraine. Now, normally, it would be unusual for someone outside of government or the transition team to be involved in calls between a president-elect and world leaders. Musk's involvement on the call is a likely sign of how much Trump plans to lean on the founder of Tesla and SpaceX once he reclaims the White House.
Several U.S. companies that rely heavily on imported raw materials, not waiting around to see if Trump was serious or not about imposing across-the-board tariffs on imports. They've ramped up orders of imported goods before Trump formally takes office, seeking to stock warehouses as quickly as possible.
Democrats are unhappy. They're worried. They're confused. They wonder, hey, what's next? Well, we're going to put those questions to Sacramento area Democratic Congressman Ami Barra, representing California's 6th Congressional District. Congressman, thanks for being with us. So my first question is, how did the Democrats screw this one up?
You know, I think we've got to, you know, after all the data's in, I think we've got to step back, look at all the data, get a sense of, you know, the electorate that voted for Donald Trump. You know, we could say 2016 was a fluke, but looking at this race, you know, people across the country voted for Donald Trump, and I think we have to understand that.
But what does that mean? Where do you think the Democratic Party needs to go while still keeping its identity as what the Democratic Party has traditionally stood for?
Well, I think it's a broader recasting of politics, where 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the core of the Republican Party were higher educated, more affluent voters, and the core of the Democratic Party were blue-collar union voters. I think that shifted, and I think we'll see lots of places where Joe Biden did better than Kamala Harris in 2024. And we've got to figure out who those voters are and why they made the decisions that they did. But we can go back and say, did Joe Biden have stayed in the race? You know, should Kamala have done something different? I actually think, given the shortened time frame, she ran a pretty strong campaign and stood up a campaign fairly quickly, but the message wasn't resonating with a certain segment of the population.
You know, you talked about the difference between the parties and the makeup of the people within those parties, speaking of the working class. So is Bernie Sanders right with his assessment of this, saying it should not come as a surprise that a Democratic Party which has abandoned working class people would find that the working class has abandoned them?
Well, I think there's certainly something to be said. You know, when I grew up, we had vocational and technical training in school. It wasn't as though everyone needed to go to college. You look around the country today, there are a lot of good paying jobs, line workers that make $150,000 a year, welders, plumbers, et cetera. Maybe it is putting some of that back in our high schools, our junior highs, doing some of these vocational training programs, not devaluing those folks that work in the trades. I'd say that is a Democratic value, but maybe we don't talk about it enough.
You know, Congressman, physicians are trained to look for the simplest explanation before they start looking for more complicated explanations. So I'm wondering if that's the case here. Could it just be as simple as Kamala Harris was just not a good candidate? As simple as that?
You know, I don't think it's quite that simple, because I think she ran a good campaign. I think she's on message.
Yeah, but Congressman, you can run a good campaign, which of course is run by lots of people and not necessarily the candidate, and still not be a good candidate.
Sure. So I think it's fair to say maybe she didn't articulate her policy positions well enough. I think a simple explanation could be, is the country ready for a female president, for an African-American female president? I think those are all things that we should look at, but it could just as easily be, we lost Latino men. We lost African-American men that historically would have voted for Democrats. I think we ought to understand why we lost those key demographics. And did we lose them just for this election cycle? Was it Kamala? Was it something deeper? Or was it an attraction to what Trump's selling, economic populism, et cetera?
I heard a Latino voter who was a Trump voter talking this morning and talking about how Trump loves this country, how he speaks of faith, family and country while he is not a perfect person, and that the Democratic Party embracing what he described as all the woke left leaning ideas that don't go with their values. How does the Democratic Party adjust that while still embracing, I don't like to use the word woke, but embracing all Americans?
Yeah, so I'd say we shouldn't undo our values of inclusion. But I would say take a look at Prop 36 here in the state of California. That passed overwhelmingly. To me, that was smart policy. I endorsed Prop 36 because, you know, you walk into a CVS, a Walgreens, and things are locked up. There should be consequences for shoplifting, for theft, for selling drugs. So that's a public saying, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, those policies that go way left, that isn't what we want. I think you see Lyndon Breed losing in San Francisco. I think that's saying, hey, we want to take homelessness seriously. These are human beings, but we've got to clean up our streets. We've got to get these folks into some sort of shelter. It might not be a single family apartment, but let's clean up our streets. Let's get our communities back. I think that, to me, is not a Republican or Democratic value. That's just common sense.
We are speaking with Democratic Congressman Ami Bera.
Could it also be, Congressman, that the Democrats, compared anyway to Donald Trump, if not necessarily the Republican Party, are just not as good at getting out a particular message and staying on message? And I'll give you an example of that. A lot of the people who have voted for Trump said that they did because they thought he was calling it like it is, that he was just speaking, whether they agreed with him or not, he was speaking what they perceived to be how he actually felt and was consistent in his message. Look at the Democrats. Look at President Biden. He spent months telling Americans that if Donald Trump is elected president, democracy as we know it will come to an end. And then the other day, he goes before the cameras and he says to everybody, everything's going to be okay. How can it be both? How can the election of Donald Trump be the end of democracy as we know it, and yet the same person who warned about that, a Democrat, a president, then comes out and says, it's going to be okay?
Look, campaigns are campaigns. I agree with you that Donald Trump's rhetoric, you know, what he ran on, what he says, I take at face value. Whether I agree with him or don't agree with him, obviously a majority of America, enough to win the presidency, did. And I do agree our democracy succeeded much as it did in 2020. So as a Democrat, I think we have to go back and think about, you know, that message. When Donald Trump talks about the border, I think most Americans feel like the southern border is a crisis. I think we ought to think about that from a national security perspective. Where are places that we as Democrats could work with Republicans to secure our borders?
But what I'm getting at is what happened to the message of the end of democracy as we know it if Donald Trump is elected? And now it seems like everybody is more than willing to say, well, okay, let's see what happens. How do you go from such a dire prediction to, okay, let's see what happens?
I mean, those of us that lived through January 6th saw that assault on our democracy. Now, do I think that's going to happen again? No. If Donald Trump lost, do I think something like that would have happened again? I would worry about it. again, I thought the 2016 election was a fair election. Certainly 2020 was a fair election. And I think, you know, when all the votes are counted, 2024 will be a fair election. So American democracy is working. I think we as Democrats need to understand why voters turned against this in a lot of places.
You know, let's go back to the messaging idea and the way that Trump puts the message out. It's very simple. He speaks in very simple terms. The Democrats seem to be viewed as this elite class of people that tend to be very, well, Kamala Harris seemed very scripted in a lot of the answers that she gave in the interviews that she did give. That feels to me like the American people just not buying what she said. I mean, do the Democrats need to just talk to people like normal people?
I agree with you, right? I mean, let's meet people where they are. You know, I think a mistake Joe Biden made for a long time was talking about how good our economy was. Clearly, a lot of Americans didn't feel that. Clearly, a lot of Americans felt like, you know, grocery prices were too high, gas prices were too high. Perhaps we are tone deaf on that. We ought to meet them where they are. Clearly, a lot of Americans are worried about the southern border. They're worried about immigration. We ought to be willing to talk about that. We ought to be willing to listen to them. We may not always agree with the remedies, but we ought to understand how the American people are feeling. And maybe that's the big takeaway, is we didn't listen enough.
So how do Democrats function in the next 4 years now that the Senate is firmly in control of the Republicans and it looks like the House will be too?
You know, let's wait for all the votes to get counted. I think there's a narrow path to get the House majority for Democrats. But, if it is undivided government and the Republicans are in control, I know how I'm going to approach this is, are there places where we can work together to make life better for the American people? I think there are. Can we work on border security in a smart way? Can we do permitting reforms to, you know, help modernize our electrical grid? Can we prevent wildfires? Can we do better forestry management? Those are all things that moderate Democrats all want to do that may actually be easier to get done in a Republican administration. I would hope that, you know, they want to do bipartisan legislation, but they don't go too far to the right. Those of us that want to work together and get stuff done, but that remains to be seen.
Congressman Armey Barrett, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Be well.
California was ground zero of the Trump resistance during his first term in the White House. What will the Golden State's approach be this time? Countdown 2024 is brought to you by LMU, Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice. LLS.edu/radio.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. Donald Trump fought several battles with California during his first term in the White House. The Trump administration tried to reverse several of California's climate change initiatives, criticized the state's forest management, and often sought to withhold wildfire disaster relief funding over it, while California's attorney general filed dozens of lawsuits trying to halt various Trump policies. Early indications are that the acrimonious relationship between Trump and the Golden State is on track to return.
Governor Gavin Newsom is calling for a special legislative session to prepare for the return of Donald Trump and all of the complications that he brings with him. Mike McGuire is a Democratic state senator, represents the Humboldt and Mendocino areas, and he's also president pro tem of the California State Senate. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Charles. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me, Margaret.
So let's start off with step one. So the governor wants a special legislative session. I presume it will happen, but what do you do?
Yeah, no, thank you so much for allowing me to be with you. Look, I think the bottom line is this here in California. If there isn't a way to work with the president and the new administration, of course we're going to do this. But I want to be very clear. I think we need to listen to the guy, take the former president, soon to be president again, President Trump, at his word. He has called so many in California the enemy within. Last time he came for California's jugular, this time he's going to come for California's jugular. He's petty, vindictive, and he's going to do what it takes to get his way, no matter if he has to bend or break laws. So here's what we're going to do. The governor would like to be able to have this special session. Speaker Rivas and I think it's a good idea. And the focus of the special session is going to be straightforward starting on December 2nd. It's going to provide immediate budget authority for the California Department of Justice and other state agencies to defend the state in court against what we anticipate will be potential destructive policies coming from the Trump administration. We allocated funding in 2016. We're going to do it again. And there is a lot to lose for the 40 million folks who call this state and proudly call this state home.
Does the state have the resources to fund all of that?
Absolutely, Margaret. It's a great question. In fact, we are trending above estimate. We fully believe that we're going to be $5 billion over what we anticipated in the black. It's good news. So yes, we will have the funding to do so. And look, there is a lot at stake. You mentioned wildfire funding. He is already threatening to withhold wildfire funding. Can you imagine the Southern California communities who are facing immediate threat and danger from the mountain fire? Can you imagine what would happen to their livelihoods if we didn't get the wildfire funding from FEMA? FEMA owes this state $2 to $3 billion from previous wildfires. We're very concerned that they're going to sweep those funds. We're very concerned about the tariffs that he is expected to put on to China, 60%, and what that's going to do for the agricultural sector here in California. By the way, California has the nation's largest agricultural economy. We're worried, desperately worried, about him eliminating the Department of Education. And he's going to put RFK Jr. in charge of health and human services for this nation. He announced it today. Good luck on that measles outbreak that we may have in 2025.
So, Mike, do we end up, though, with 4 years of the California state legislature basically filing nonstop lawsuits?
Absolutely not. Again, if you were to ask anyone about me, I work with all sides. And in fact, I represent a district that voted for President Trump and voted for President Biden. It's a slice of America. It runs from San Francisco to the Oregon border. We can't afford to ignore the top issues of the state. Californians deserve better than just endless litigation. We have to focus on homelessness. We have to bring down the cost of living. We passed historic retail theft package that will make California safer. We need to make it easier to build housing. We need to prepare for the LA 28 Olympics. And I got to be candid with you. The stakes are just too high to ignore what President Trump may do. We would be ignorant if we didn't listen to him, if we didn't take him at his word. He is coming for those that he believes, quote, are the enemy within. Americans, Californians, and we have to be able to defend ourselves, to be able to stand strong for our democracy and protect the progress that we've made over these past many years.
We are speaking with Democratic State Senator Mike McGuire. He will stick with us as we close out today's show, staying focused on all things California and Trump next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
We are finishing our conversation on the battles to come between California and the Trump administration with President Pro Tem of the State Senate, Mike McGuire.
Mike, it's always good to have alliances. What other states, if any, are kind of joining this California resistance, for lack of a better phrase?
Yeah, look, I think you're going to see Colorado, Washington, Oregon, several Western states. And I don't think it's going to be a monolith. And I want to be very clear. California wants to work with the incoming president. Candidly, we would all be better off. But he's already put the vision of his next administration in writing via Project 2025. And don't take my word for it. Simply Google it and take a look on the internet. He wants to gut abortion access. He wants to advance mass deportations, spying on Americans with warrantless surveillance on our data use.
I get that. But so then how do you realistically, I know you say you want to work with him, but how do you work with somebody after you just gave that laundry list?
would love to be able to see the issues that he'd like to advance that's going to benefit California. Let's take what some of those could be. One, increasing the funding for the National Forest Service to be able to fight wildfires. President Biden was the first president in several administrations, both Democratic and Republican, to be able to advance funding for California, $500 million for 7 national forests. We'd love to be able to see that. Just about 60% of the national forest land in the state of California owned and managed by the federal government. Number two, we'd love to be able to get assistance on additional water allocation from the Colorado River. I think that would be huge for this state. The agricultural economy in this state is in need. I'm very nervous about the tariffs that he would want to put on Chinese goods. It's going to increase the cost of living, everything from the shirt that you wear to the iPhone that you talk on. And it's going to devastate the agricultural sector in the state, the number one agricultural economy. I think that's an issue that we can also work with them on. We need to modernize our electrical grid, Southern and Northern California, and looking at permitting reform that only the federal government could advance. We want to be able to advance offshore wind off the Southern and Northern California coast, working with the federal government on that. There are several areas and infrastructure projects that we can work on. Is he going to focus on that, or continue his airing of grievances with those states that may not have supported him? Still to be seen. I think it's a trust, but verify.
Okay, very good. That's California President Pro Tem of the State Senate, Mike McGuire. Mike, thanks for being with us. Coming up on Monday's edition of Countdown, Donald Trump has promised across-the-board tariffs on imports from China. He's also promised tax breaks for pretty much everyone. So how will that all work? We are going to dive into both of those issues on Monday's show. If you miss our show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Countdown 2024, by the way, is brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice. LLS.edu/radio. It's been a long week. Have a good weekend. If you can, go to a spa.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy,
but it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.